know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. And in number 38, it says, I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you desire or what you require. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. You know, sometimes I'm guilty as anybody else. We do our little meditations and then we, you know, think about the Lord. And we conjure up an image in our mind of who he is and what he's supposed to be doing. We have a concept. And we, you know, sometimes it's a good concept. But the Lord says, come to me and I'll tell you who I am. It's not for you to make up who you think I am, but rather it is for us to come to him. And he has given us his word to tell us who he is. So today we're going to be looking a lot into God's word. So you're going to be keeping your fingers all nimble. You might want to do the crack thing and the pull thing and don't dislocate your fingers. But we will be looking at various portions of scripture. We're going to let God speak for himself. Let's dedicate this time. Word of God, speak. Open our ears. Open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts. Pray, Father, you will sweep the hindrances away. Not the speaker, nor the voice, but let your voice come through. Let you speak through us and to us, that we may understand who you are in a little way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, another technology check here. I got that. Deity of Christ. All right. That little arrow is necessary for the operation of the technology. The I ams in John's Gospel. I am. What's in the name? That's the topic of today's discussion. What's in the name? And notice I did not say a name. What's in the name? It's a very special name. The Jews even consider it so holy they don't pronounce it. It's an unpronounceable name. It's YHWH, no vowels. And we'll come to that as we look through it. But it's unpronounceable because it's too holy that unclean lips should not speak it. What's in the name? So they substitute it. They use the word Adonai, Lord, in place of YHWH. They also use the term Hashem. Ha is the, Shem is name. It's the name. Now, we read this morning, or we had read to us very well this morning, an account. And be careful that I say it's an account. It's not a story. It's an account of what happened in the wilderness of Midian. Midian is somewhere in Saudi Arabia. Desert place. A lot of nomads. A lot of sheep and goats being taken around. And they try to scratch a living wherever they can because it's not exactly a very arable place. Now, there was a prince, a fugitive from Egypt. He had gone through some really complicated stuff. And you know this guy, his name was Moses. He was a refugee from Pharaoh. And he took off after killing one of Pharaoh's servants and making a mess of his life. He made a life in exile for himself and he married a Midianite priest's daughter. So he was tending his father-in-law's sheep. that sort of representative. It's messed up big time in Egypt from a promising life in the Egyptian cause and possibly the heir to the throne. He comes to be in the a humble life with the wandering Midianites. But at least in his mind, one day, hey, I'll have many children, you know, and I'll perhaps prosper, and perhaps all my father-in-law's sheep and goats will be mine. All right, it's a consolation prize, but what you gonna do? So, our story, or our account read to us this morning started in Exodus chapter 3, and I guess you have turned to it this morning. If you're not, it's on page 60 of the Pew Bibles, Exodus chapter 3. It says that one day, while out with the flocks, he sees a wondrous, impossible sight. There was a wild acacia bush, burning, but not incinerated. Now, something burning in the desert is a little bit of a concern because it tends to burn real easy. It goes poof and it's gone. Have you guys ever tried burning a Christmas tree after Christmas? Oh yeah, oh confessions. You light it like woof, it's gone. Well, something like that with the dry acacia trees. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush doesn't burn out? Because this is pretty unusual. It don't take a few seconds. And when the Lord saw that he had gotten over to look, God called him up from within the bush, Moshe, Moshe. And Moses said, here I am. Tree talking to me. Do not come any closer, we're told, the Lord said to him. God said, take off your sandals and that kind of thing. But I'm going to skip right down to the meaty part. Basically, God said to Moses, I'm going to send you back to Egypt, back to that Pharaoh who's out for your blood, and you're going to be letting my people free. Moses is a little bit intimidated by now. He used to be a pretty brash guy, but no more. Got beaten. So Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, Ive Asher Ive. I am who I am. Now that who is an interesting word, Asher. Asher is a relational word. It's like, what's your reference? It's like, which, because, that kind of thing, wherein, whom, whose, whomever. What does that mean? I am who I am. It means, I am, first of all, it's in the present. So it says, I am in the present. I am always here. I am who I am. I don't need anybody else to tell me who I am. I don't need to refer to anybody else, not the son of so-and-so, the father of so-and-so. I am who I am. I am the self-referencing one. I am the self-existent one. I don't need anybody to cause me to be, because I am who I am. I don't need anybody to create me. I am. I'm intrinsically complete, which means that in myself, I'm complete. I don't need anybody else to make me more complete. I don't need anybody else to make me better, because I am who I am. I am what I am. I am which I am. And being that I am, I'm a being. I don't have to become something. Therefore, I am the eternal one. While the creation is dependent on God, he's utterly independent of the creation. He not only has life, but his life, he is life to the universe. He is the source of life in himself. is utterly independent of every environment, and in which he wills to make himself known. He is complete in himself. John in Revelation expresses it rather well. I am him. I am him who is and who was and is to come. That's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Now, as I said, the word is, the name of God is so holy that they don't pronounce it. Now, if you look at the I must have skipped one. Okay. See these little dots underneath there? These are the letters, and those are the dots. The dots are vowel sounds. Iye, I am, is Aleph, Hey, Yod, Hey. Or silent, could be A, could be E. H, Y, H. Now, the name Lord is YHWH, and you notice there are no vowel sounds because it's too holy to pronounce. God said in Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, Lord, YHWH, the Lord, your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name to all generations. That's pretty important. We pronounce it these days Yahweh, because we just need the vowels. Our tongues are that way. When we say Lord, we mean Yahweh. We mean Yod He. Yod. I left out there. There's the Yod He, Vav He. You take the that over there. Just shows unfallible, huh? Okay. The Lord. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5 to 7. And it's on page 762. Everybody's found it, right? Good, we can go on. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that man may know from the rising of the sun, from the rising to the setting of the sun, that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. That's a pretty powerful being that's being described there. Everything that we see, 10 billion trillion stars, the vast universe, all those nuclear furnaces created by the world. Oh, by the way, he says, and he made the stars also. That's pretty cool. Israelites have a chant that they say, a thing that they always repeat. That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. That's in page 190 in your pew Bibles. They go like this, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Ahad, which means, hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God. The Lord is one. A heart is one. A heart is like one. The first day of the week is also called a heart. A heart is first. It's one. It's just one being. This one Lord. The Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So it's ingrained into the Israeli mind, into the Jewish mind, that God is one. There's not a multiplicity of gods, not like over in Canaan. There's not the God of the sun, the God of the moon, the God of the sea, the God of the harvest. There is one God, and his name is Adonai, Yahweh. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 to 3, and that's page 79. One of the not so subtle suggestions, not so subtle 10 suggestions. In fact, the very first one, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. So, one God, no other gods. Pretty exclusive. Now we'll look at Jesus of Nazareth, also known as the Christ. The Christ is the Greek version of the word Messiah. And the word Messiah, Mashiach, is from the Old Testament, and it's the chosen one. Jesus of Nazareth was called the Christ by his followers and by a lot of others around him. Not necessarily in a good term, not in a good way, sometimes derisively. All right, let's have a look at Jesus of Nazareth, also known as the Christ. We know Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, YHWH is Yahweh. That is the Lord, the name of God, the memorial name of God, by which he will be known for all generations. Special name. If you look very carefully, the first three characters here are here as well. And this is YHWSHV, and this is Ayin. So this is vowel sound that is used in place of, sometimes you can use it as a Y, sometimes you can use it as an A. So it's Yod, He, Yod, He, Vav, Shem, He, Ayin. Those are the Hebrew characters. Okay, what does that? What's big deal to us? The main thing here is that the name Jesus, Yeshua, is derived from the name unpronounceable Yahweh. Yeshua is Yahweh with an addition. What is this Shua here? The Shua is a shortened form of Yasha, which is to save. So it says Yahweh saves. That is the name of Jesus. That's why when the angel spoke to Mary, she says, you shall call him Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now let's see some accounts of Yeshua. John chapter 10, verse 25 to 30, page 1123. Jesus speaking and teaching in the temple courts. And the passage says, the Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long would you keep us in suspense? If you are Mashiach, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. See, they have seen things like turning water into wine. Blind men who was blind from birth and able to see. Lame people able to walk. Dead people come alive. They've seen all these things. There's no mystery to them. You've seen the works that I do in my Father's name. These testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. And they follow me and I give them eternal life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And very significantly, he says to them, I and the Father are one. Now remember Shema. Shema is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. What is this guy claiming? That he and the Father are one. To the Jewish mind, this man is saying, I am God. Now, that's pretty preposterous. So I can understand they get a little bit perturbed, you know. Someone to listen more, someone to beat him up. Don't want to hear it. And the high priest and and the Pharisees and all those Jewish authorities, guess what? My authority is finished. The boss is here. I got no job. I don't like this. Let's get rid of the boss. Another passage, John chapter 8, verse 23 to 28, page 1120. And he was saying to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am," and the "he" is in italics in many Bibles because the "he" is not there in the original. It's put in there for us to understand in English. To make the thing more grammatically sensible. "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Wow. That is pretty preposterous too. You don't believe in me? Fires of hell. So they were saying to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "What I have been saying to you from the beginning, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, I speak to the world." They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am. And I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me." Now we want to look at another passage in that same area. It's John chapter 8, verse 23 to 28. John chapter 8, verse 52 to 59. Page 1120. "Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And the Jews said to him, 'Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also. And you say, anyone who keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?' Jesus answered, 'If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not come to know him. But I know him, and I say that I do not know him. If I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar, just like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, for he saw it and was glad.' So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?' Oh, really? Abraham died several hundred years ago. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Is that a claim of godhood? Equality with God? The scripture says he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. To say that he has equality with God, but he emptied himself, becoming one of us. He condescended to becoming one of us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 22, page 1233. What does it say to us? He is the image of the invisible God. The image is the visible representation of the invisible God. The firstborn of all creation. The word firstborn there means existing first, existing before. And also could mean the prince who inherits the father's possessions. The firstborn. "For by him all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." Now, what does it mean, heavens and earth? the universe. Visible and invisible, even if you can't see it. Both the visible and the invisible universe, whether thrones or dominions, speaking of political power, or rulers of authority or authorities, speaking of spiritual powers. All things have been created through him and for him. So let's make no mistake, he is God. He is before all things. Kids ask me, you know, how do you have an eternal God? What is eternity? What is eternity? And the best answer I can give is eternity is before. See, there's a before, and then the beginning. Now there's a before there was ever a before. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. It's the glue of the universe, if you like. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will have first place. That was the next slide there. That he himself will have first place, first in rank in everything. For it was the good Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, i.e., the totality of God, God's attributes dwell in him, are contained in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So, who is Jesus? Jesus is I Am, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh. Jesus is Yeshua, Yahweh saves. Now, that's an interesting study on the actual characters. Yod-Heh, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Put up your right hand and cup it like this. If you pull it up like that and look at the word character Yod, looks like your right hand, don't it? See, the ancient Hebrew was a pictographic language. And a lot of these things represent something in nature, something solid. So, Yod is hand. It represents hand. It's a picture of a hand. Hey, now, hey is like this is a little house. And there is a wall and the seal, the roof, and under in the house there is a window. And you go up to the window and you look outside. And so hey represents look, behold, look, vav. Vav is like this is the shank of a nail, that's the head of a nail. You pound on the head to drive the shank in. So vav represents nail. In fact, vav is used as a conjunction word. A joining word in Hebrew. So, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, hand, look or behold, nail, look or behold. Now remember, this is the Old Testament, back in Genesis even, name, memorial name of God by which he's going to be remembered. What does it mean? I think it means that God planned salvation via the cross from the very beginning. Now, is that an earth-shaking concept? This is not a New Testament fix. This is not a fix after creation. This is a fix that God planned from the very beginning. And you remember that Jesus is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh saves. So it's like this. Hand, behold, nail, behold, the cross saves. That's Jesus' name. Now, what's the bottom line for us? First of all, that God, I am, is eternal, self-existent, omnipresent. He's everywhere, because he is, he am, everywhere. He's not there, he's not here, not there, not the other place. He's I am, everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's I am. He don't need anything. He makes everything. Everything derives from him. He derives from nobody. He's omniscient. He knows everything. I am. He knows everything there is to know. He's omniscient. The memorial name of God contains the Hebrew characters for hand, hand behold, nail behold. We also learn that Jesus is God in every way. They go through great lengths to say that. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him. There was nothing made that's not made by him. Wow. God in every way. His name says, hand behold, nail behold is salvation. The message is the cross. It's the eternal God's method of salvation. So, a message must have a faith lesson. And now it's your move. I don't know the hearts of everybody here, but let's say, God being creator of the universe, who gets to make the rules of how one ought to live? Do you, or does God? Pretty obvious, it's God. God has a set of rules we call the 10 not-so-subtle suggestions, otherwise known as the 10 commandments. Well, let's measure ourselves up to that. Commandment number nine. You shall not bear false witness. Have you ever told a lie? Anybody here never told a lie? Well, good, honest people. Yes, so we've all told lies. What does that make us? In fact, we make a practice of lying. It's not just we tell a lie once in a while. We make a practice of it. We have to suppress our tendency to lie, don't we? So what does that make us? Liars. Okay. How do you run up against the seventh commandment? You shall not commit adultery. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I don't have an affair. But you ever look at a woman or a man and have fantasy dreams of some sexual encounter? Come on, you just told me you're liars. So what does that make you? Yes, adulterer? So you're now a lying adulterer. Have you ever said, oh my God, have you ever said, I don't even want to say this, the name of the Lord, Jesus, as a cuss word? Yes. The lying adulterers have to say yes. So what does that make you? A blasphemer. That's only three that has made you now a lie, a thief, a lying blasphemer. Now we stand before the Almighty God who says, if you fall short of my glory, if you have sinned, the wages of sin is death. So what will happen to you? Pretty straightforward justice, right? You stand before the court, the charges are read out. What's the verdict? Guilty. What's the consequence, the punishment of guilt? Death. So what happens to us then if we measure up against God's not-so-subtle suggestions? We are destined for death. But you remember God's name, his memorial name was hand behold, nail behold, the cross. And Jesus' name was hand behold, nail behold, is salvation. God is salvation. God has made a solution for that. He came as a man. He died in your place and my place. And you need to come to Jesus for the solution to your problem, because His death can substitute for you. But you need to make that move. That's why I say it's your move. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now this is what we need to take away from us, from this meeting today. Jesus is God who came, died, rose again, proving that he actually did manage to save you from your sins. You just need to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's all that's required. Let's pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, creator of the universe, the chosen one, Yeshua, who has given us everything we need. From life and liberty in this world to salvation where we have sinned against you. We pray, Lord, as you have planted the seed in our hearts, that your Holy Spirit will take it and cause it to grow into much fruit. We pray, Lord, that whoever here has not received you, may today be the day that they received you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. In Yeshua's name, we pray. Amen. Don't leave if you haven't settled that. It might be your last chance. Because if you enter into eternity without settling it, I'm sorry. There is the law then becomes your judge, not the mercy and grace of Christ. So don't leave if you haven't settled it. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening and the privilege of speaking.